Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. Today's episode is another listener question, and it comes to us from Josh at Virginia Commonwealth University. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. In today's question, Josh writes, I'm appraising a 504-bed student apartment complex in a tertiary college market in Virginia. The property is unique, and rent comparable sales and reliable market data are scarce. I enjoyed your interview with Will Matheson a couple of weeks ago, and I emailed him to discuss my property and get his thoughts on the changing market dynamics. Do you have anyone else in your network who invests in student housing who would talk to me about it? I appreciate your help and my students at VCU, and I continue to benefit from your content. Well, Josh, thanks for the kind words, and this is a great question. I'm glad the podcast is continuing to provide value to both you and your students. Here's my take on valuation for student housing, and I'm going to start with a disclaimer. I'm not a commercial appraiser, and I don't play one on a podcast either. You'll definitely want to reach out to a commercial appraiser who specializes in student housing. My partners and I have been investing in student housing in Philadelphia since 2010, but those market dynamics are so different. I don't think we could offer any insight of value to your specific case. What I'm going to share on today's show is my understanding of how commercial appraisals are conducted. As you and many of our listeners probably know, commercial appraisers will value a property using three different methods. And if possible, they would like good data for all three of those methods before ultimately choosing the most relevant of the three methods. Those three methods are comparable sales, number two, multiples of net income, and number three, replacement cost. They will then prioritize the one method that makes the most sense. It often happens that getting meaningful data for one or more of the methods could be difficult or impossible. The beauty of your building is that it has 504 beds, and you're correct. There will be few, if any, comparable properties and even fewer recent transactions involving comparable properties. You might find another building with, say, only 50 beds, but that's one-tenth the size, and it would have to be sold within a fairly narrow window. It would be hard to consider those two properties comparable. Maybe you might divide by the number of beds and get a price per bed, but the amenities between those two buildings would be very different. It'd be hard to make a fair comparison. For larger commercial properties, comparable sales is a very rarely used metric. Even if you found the perfect comp, the notion of value requires going through the price discovery process. Just because buyer A bought from seller Z doesn't mean that buyer B agrees with that price. Who's to say that buyer A had a reasonable notion of value? Maybe they were out to lunch. It's simply too difficult to find a statistically significant set of data points. Very different than, say, a 200-unit condo building where you've got lots of comparable data of exactly the same units in the same building. This is very different. The beauty of rental properties is that they generate lots of rental data. If the building is full, then you have 504 actual rent transactions that settle every month. There's no speculation. That's 6,048 data points of rent transactions that actually settled each year, and the checks cleared and the cash is in the bank. So with more than 6,000 actual measured data points, you know what the gross income was for the past year. You know what the expenses were for the past year. And so now you know the net income. The question is, how many years are you willing to wait to recoup that investment? And that will tell you the net income multiple that the property is worth to you. The third method is replacement cost. The fact is, construction prices are constantly rising. Newer buildings are going to cost more to build than what it cost an older building a few years ago. What seems expensive today to build will seem like a bargain in 10 to 20 years. That's the magic of inflation. It's common to find older buildings selling for less than replacement cost, so replacement cost is rarely used as a comparison metric either. And that leaves us with the only remaining method, which is the multiples of net income. In real estate, we tend to use the cap rate metric as a comparison tool. Cap rate and multiples of net income are essentially the same metric, just one is the reciprocal of the other. It's basically the same math. If the net income multiple is out of 20 years, that's the same as a 5% cap rate. One is just the reciprocal of the other. So the question really becomes, how much cash does this business generate? And what is the appetite for yield in this asset class? With the rise in interest rates, investors always have alternatives. And the outlook for investors depends on time horizon. These days, investors are searching for safety and yield, mostly in that order. And so far, the conventional wisdom is that the safest investment is a U.S. T-bill. When you can theoretically get 4.85% in a T-bill, why would you take any additional risk for an investment that only yields 5%? The spread is not large enough. But when measured over the longer term, that real estate investment will appreciate in value, whereas a T-bill will not. You're comparing a 90-day maturity with something that has a much longer time horizon. The valuation is highly sensitive to cap rate. Even a quarter-point change in the cap rate could have a 5 or 6% change in the property value at these lower cap rates. And this is where you need to get some guidance from a high-quality commercial broker or appraiser on the market cap rate in your area. With the rise in interest rates, you can expect the cap rate to increase and the value of the property to be somewhat reduced. This is highly subjective because there's a wide spread between short-term and long-term rates. That interest rate inversion indicates the cap rates might be headed higher in the short term and lower in the medium term. I don't know how helpful this is to you, but I always appreciate the dialogue. This valuation discussion is one that commercial real estate investors struggle with each and every day. I want to thank you, Josh, for a fantastic question. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.